Puzzle Pieces, written by Peace Heather and read by Paul Sassault, a BBC Merlin fic. Summary. Follow up to visiting hours. There are things about their encounter with the bandits that just don't add up for Arthur, and he's determined to make sense of them. Chapter 1. Arthur was seated at his desk, staring at a stack of reports, but his mind was entirely elsewhere. He'd spent the past several days cooped up in his chambers while his leg healed, and had had nothing better to do than think, and catch up on reports. Now that he was up and moving, more or less, Arthur had really expected to be able to distract himself with the day-to-day work of running a kingdom, but it wasn't working at all. Instead, he was still caught up in memories of his captivity with Merlin. He still had questions about what had happened. There were still things that didn't add up. They think I'm a sorcerer, Merlin said finally, reluctantly. His breath hitched every couple of words. A specific sorcerer, someone they've been looking for. They think if they hurt me enough, I'll use magic to get out of it and prove them right. But you're not a sorcerer, said Arthur. Merlin shifted uncomfortably, and Arthur helped him settle again. As I said, it doesn't matter. It made sense that they wouldn't torment Arthur, at least. He was recognizable, although even if they hadn't known he was the Prince of Camelot, his armor and red cloak were a bit of a giveaway that he was at least a knight. But why assume a sorcerer was keeping company with a knight of Camelot? And then there was something else. While they were returning to Camelot, Merlin had been delirious, possibly just talking in his sleep. Stop, he murmured, leaned up against Arthur beside the campfire. The swelling around his eyes had finally started to go down to the point where he could open them, but they were closed in sleep right now. Merlin? The other knights were asleep as well, except for Leon on watch. Arthur kept his voice down. Stop, he said, tossing his head fretfully. Arthur could smell the fever sweat on him. Stop calling me Amorous. Arthur squeezed his shoulder gently, not wanting to jostle him awake. Merlin, it's all right. You're dreaming. Arthur? His servant stirred, lifting his head, and Arthur coaxed him back down. You were dreaming, Merlin. It's all right. Go back to sleep. Now, back at the palace, he couldn't stop wondering over and over. Who was Emrys? He's some kind of sorcerer, obviously, he was saying to Liam hours later. But why assume Merlin was him? And for God's sake, why assume a sorcerer would travel anywhere near Camelot? Your father has never quite been able to eradicate all sorcery, you know that, offered Leon. Perhaps this Emrys is someone who has managed to avoid detection so far. Arthur nodded and picked at his dinner. It made sense enough, he supposed. And Merlin is clearly not a knight or other type of warrior. It would be more logical to assume he were the sorcerer out of anyone in our party that day, Leon agreed. That still begs the question of why they would have thought we would have a sorcerer with us in the first place. I mean, it's not as if we were escorting a prisoner, which is the only scenario I can think of that would have put us anywhere near someone with magic without us all trying to kill one another. Huh, Leon reached for his goblet. A fair point, sire. After a thoughtful sip, he added, do you think Merlin might remember more, now that he's recovering? I may ask him, but I hate to make him relive any of it. And it's not as if this were important to Camelot's future. Yet you've not been able to let go of the question for days. Arthur had to acknowledge the point. There's just something about it. Logically, I know it's foolish. As I said, the answers probably do not matter at all. And yet, I feel as though they do, and they certainly matter to me. I don't know why, but they do. Perhaps because they concern Merlin and you care for him, sire? He sighed heavily. There was no use in denying that Merlin meant far more to Arthur than his station should have dictated. Perhaps. It took him a long time to fall asleep that night, staring at his bed canopy and turning the question over in his mind. Who was Emrys? In the corridor outside Caius's chamber was bustling with visitors from Merlin, just as it had been 3 days ago, when Arthur had first come down. Fortunately, the number of people didn't seem quite as large now as it had been. Arthur thought he recognized some of the faces this time, servants around the palace or possibly repeat visitors. He also did not fail to notice the bundles and packages people carried, the posies of flowers and loaves of bread. He shook his head with a wry smile as he passed them to open Gaius's door. "Ah, your highness," said the physician. "Here to see Merlin, are you?" "Not this time," he replied, sitting down at the work table and smiling again at the gifts still piled there. Gaius had resorted to placing things in neat stacks alongside the table on the floor, and the space was still nearly overflowing. "I'll have to arrange for larger chambers for Merlin, or his own personal storeroom, if this keeps up." "Well, the excitement does seem to be dying down," said Gaius. "We've received fewer than half as many gifts today as we have over the past several. I've sent some of the things onto the kitchen so they could be put to use before they spoiled." "He deserves them," said Arthur. "He's a terrible manservant, but..." Gaius chuckled. "Indeed, sire. He is quite special to me, as I'm sure you are aware." He cleared a spot on the bench and sat down with a sigh. "But you said you were not here to see him." "Well, not yet, at least, no." Arthur sobered, toying with the edge of a folded blanket as he thought. "I wanted to ask you a question. About sorcery. Or about..." He sighed. "Something troubles you." "It does." He looked up to see Gaius frowning at him. Almost worried, if Arthur were to guess. "Merlin told me that the bandits who captured us thought he was a sorcerer. They were trying to make him prove it, by hurting him so that he would have to use magic to escape." Gaius inhaled sharply, and Arthur continued. "Then later, in his sleep, Merlin spoke a name, Emrys." Gaius's eyes widened, and he almost seemed to pale a little, if that were possible. "What is your question then, sire?" "I have many questions." Arthur scoffed a little, and dragged his hands through his hair. "It doesn't make sense. Why assume a sorcerer would be traveling with knights of Camelot? They have to have known about the ban. What would make them believe that I would have a sorcerer as an ally? How would it even enter their minds?" "I think the answer to that question must have something to do with whoever this Emrys person is, but I don't know where to even begin looking for a sorcerer who would be known by name, and whom other people would be looking for as well. Why are they looking for him? Should I be? Is he dangerous? I don't know anything, and it's immensely frustrating." Gaius relaxed, the indulgent smile on his face that Arthur had seen countless times growing up. It was a smile that suggested that everything would be all right. "Well, I don't know very much, of course, but I have heard the name Emrys before," he said. "He's a legendary figure, such that most people do not believe he even exists. But these bandits did, and they were willing to torture Merlin to prove he was him." Gaius nodded. "I can tell you that, if I remember correctly, Emrys was prophesied to be an ally to the King of Camelot. A sorcerer as Camelot's ally. That's what I can't get past. Remember that Camelot has stood for generations, and the ban on magic has only been in place during your lifetime, sire. Prophecies are generally far older than that." Arthur took that in, frowning. "But the power corrupts people who use it, even if they meant well to start with." The old physician raised an eyebrow in an expression of supreme skepticism. "Does it?" And it was true that Arthur had his doubts about that, but he was not quite prepared to face them just yet. "You said Emrys is mentioned in prophecies?" "Oh yes, several, as I recall. Though I'm afraid I'm not familiar with more than what I've already told you. He is an ally to one of the kings of Camelot, by his side always, and they work together to bring about a golden age of peace and prosperity, uniting all of Albion and winning freedom for all peoples." Arthur hadn't been expecting that. Sounds hopeful, at least. Indeed, sire. A pair of boys from the lower town came out of Merlin's room just then, elbowing each other and snickering. Arthur waited while they left, never noticing him, and while the next visitor waiting outside came in. She was tiny and very old, and while her curtsy was a little stiff, from the look on her face it was at least heartfelt. Highness, Master Gaius. Astrid, said Gaius in surprise. I didn't expect to see you, madam. It's a long walk from your home. Oh, nonsense. I had Gerald bring me most of the way. As if I were going to leave your apprentice to recover without visiting. Such a nice boy. He is, at that, said Gaius. Come, let me help you up the steps to his room. By your leave, sire. Of course, Arthur waved him off, still thinking. Freedom for all peoples. That probably meant something like lifting the ban on sorcery, given that Emrys was supposed to be an ally. Too bad that wouldn't happen as long as Ulfr lived. Did Arthur want it to happen during his reign? Gaius came back, shaking his head and chuckling. That boy has more grandmothers looking after him and trying to feed him than anyone I've ever met. Probably because he's so scrawny, said Arthur, and smiled as Gaius chuckled again. Astrid did, in fact, pinch Merlin's cheek and tell him he was too thin. Arthur hid a grin. He would never let Merlin live this down. Still, he had something more important to focus on at the moment. If I wanted to learn more about these prophecies, where would you suggest I go? Gaius blinked, thought about it for a moment, and rubbed at his chin. Well, I suppose there is the chance that something is written in the royal archives, he said. Though, of course, Ulfr burnt a great many books on magic, or anything that looked like it might be sympathetic towards magic and magic users. Still, that might be a place to start. The prince nodded, thinking it over. And if Joffrey doesn't find anything? Well, Arthur knew that look. Gaius could be remarkably cagey when he wanted to be. Gaius? I'm sure I wouldn't. Gaius, he warned. The old man sighed heavily. You won't like it, sire. I don't expect to like all the answers I get while I investigate this little puzzle, but I still need to hear them. Gaius gave a little half bow, still seated at the table. It's only that, well, when it comes to prophecies, no one keeps them better than the druids. If nothing comes of your search in the royal archives, you may wish to consult them. He'd been right. Arthur didn't like it. Has your search borne any fruit? Oh, sire. Well, it's, you see... Out with it, please, Joffrey. I know my father wouldn't approve of the research I'm asking you to perform for me, but I am not him. I'm not going to punish you for doing as I ask. Well, as you say, His Majesty did command a number of texts destroyed around the time of your birth, and I do recall there being some scrolls with what may have been prophetic verses, or, well, regarded as prophetic. The librarian trailed off at the expression on Arthur's face. Well, there was one copy which your father, His Majesty, missed. Missed. Indeed, sire. It was simply overlooked. I would not presume to have hidden it, or any such treasonous thing. But, well, here it is. He reached into his satchel and pulled out a ragged-looking volume, not very large, whose cover was cracked and dulled with age. It's not in very good condition, I'm afraid, but you can see why it might have been overlooked in His Majesty's initial quest to, eradicate such things. Arthur supposed that made sense. Thank you, Joffrey, he said. I'll be certain to return this when I am finished with it. Please do be careful, Your Highness. Books of this age can be quite fragile. Of course. but the book itself had little to say that seemed to be of any value. In the reign of the fork-bearded king will come a great flood, damaging the crops and killing many cattle. It will come to pass that... Arthur hardly saw how that would be relevant, and the fork-bearded king didn't exactly narrow down the possibilities as to when this flood was supposed to take place. Hark! The queen layeth her eyes upon the unicorn in the field, and a hunt shall be gathered in the same season, which shall... Arthur already had a pretty good idea of what happened when someone killed the unicorn. Unfortunately. When the snows are at their deepest upon the fields of Caerleon, the son of two fathers will battle with his brother who is not his brother, and he shall fall from the path of rainbows. What was that even supposed to mean? Arthur rubbed at his eyes tiredly. He'd been at this for hours, and all he had to show for it was a headache, dry eyes, and a lot of wasted lamp oil. He'd finally taken to just skimming the pages rather than reading them in depth, looking for any hint of Emrys or allies, or anything that jumped out and looked interesting. He was littered enough, and took satisfaction from managing the records and reports that crossed his desk, but it wasn't his favorite pastime. Arthur simply wasn't a bookish sort. Never had been. He'd continue this tomorrow. He was off his stride at training the next day, unable to really get his thoughts focused where they needed to be. Merlin was still abed, in no shape to be hauling Arthur's armor and weapons all over the place. And of course, every time Arthur looked over and didn't see his servant watching, his mind jumped to their captivity, and sorcery, and Emrys, and prophecies. Wayne laughed in triumph when he managed to get past Arthur's guard and land a shot to his head that left him flat on his back on the grass. "I can't believe you didn't see that coming," he cried, flipping the visor back on his helmet. He reached a hand down to hoist Arthur to his feet, then frowned a little. "Actually, why didn't you see that coming? You've blocked that shot 100 times. "Distracted by other things, I guess." They moved off the field to where the buckets of cold, clear water waited for the knights to quench their thirst. "Merlin, I'd wager." Gawain dipped the first ladle and drank greedily, then dipped another and poured it over his head. "It's been a couple of days since I visited. How does he fare?"
"Better every day, but...
well, you know. Broken ribs take time to mend." "Aye, I've cracked my share. Not the most fun way to spend a few weeks. But don't worry, Merlin will be back on his feet before you know it." Arthur shook his head. "I'm not actually worried about him. He's in Guise's capable hands. He'll be fine." "Then, if you're not worried about him, what has you so distracted that I'm landing easy shots on you like that?" The prince dipped another ladle into the bucket, collecting his thoughts. Come to think of it, Gawain might be a good person to ask. "Do you think sorcery is evil?" Gawain did a double take, choking on his drink. "Do I what?" Arthur frowned. "You heard me just fine." As Gawain continued to stare at him, he rolled his eyes and added, "You've traveled a fair bit. You're not originally from Camelot. You have a different perspective than the one I was brought up with." "Ah, well then," Gawain tossed wet hair out of his eyes. "The short answer is no. I don't think sorcery is just automatically evil. The longer answer requires a pint or two, and a bit more privacy than this. I'm not going to have a casual conversation with you where your father's friends might overhear, and have my head for being a sympathizer or whatnot." Well, Arthur couldn't fault him for that. Fair enough. Tonight? Works for me. End of chapter 1.